We often get advice to start saving money and investing early in our lives, but we don't always get advice on how to actually do that. Not all of us have people in our lives who are familiar with the lingo and the ins and outs of how to invest, or we might just feel uncomfortable taking risks on things we don't know a lot about. Our next guest is going to provide a little framework on how to get started investing on your own and how to help your kids understand the concepts around investing and managing money. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about getting started with investing and how to actually do it? What's something you found out the hard way with your own investments? And have you tried to teach some finance lessons, including investing, to your kids? Or do you have questions about how to do that? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Emily Guy Birkin is a personal finance blogger from Wauwatosa and author of several books, including the forthcoming Stacked, Your Super Serious Guide to Modern Money Management. Emily, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you write that you had an experience as a kid in class about the value of investing early. And before we get into how to invest, can you remind us of that lesson? How much does it pay off to invest earlier and save earlier rather than later?
Yes. When I was in ninth grade, my social studies teacher had a specific class where we learned about the power of compound interest. And he gave the example of, and it, just by coincidence, he happened to choose me as the early investor. And then a classmate of mine named Joe was the late investor, and saying that if I invested $150 per month starting at age 18 and continuing on until age 40 and then stopped, and then Joe put aside $1,000 per month starting at age 40 and then continued on until he wanted to retire at age 65, assuming a 10% annual return, I would end with almost $1.4 million, even though I only set money aside for 22 years and was only putting $150 a month away, whereas Joe was going to retire at 65 with almost $1.2 million, even though he set aside more for a longer period of time, because that's the power of compound interest. And that stuck with me in part, I'm sure, because I was the example student that Mr. Bosley chose. But also it was just kind of cool. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool math. The problem was, even though my father was a financial planner, and I've always been a money nerd and I've been interested in this, it was one of those where like, okay, that's cool, but how do I get there? How do I do that? You know, right. Like I want to do that, but how?
Right. I dimly recall at age 18, even if I happen to have an extra 100 or 150 bucks lying around and I did want to invest it, I wouldn't have had a clue as to how to do it. So what kind of things are you looking at when it comes to introducing kids to the practicalities of how to actually invest money?
So for me, what I want the kids to understand is that they have some of the information and knowledge that anyone might need to invest. So Warren Buffett very famously says, don't invest in anything you don't understand. And kind of the opposite of it is make sure to invest in things you understand well. So, for instance, my husband is an automotive engineer. He currently works for Harley Davidson. And he has been working with internal combustion engines for his entire career and has been, you know, fascinated by them as a teenager. You know, he is in some ways self-taught, you know, was working on cars as a teenager. So he has a very deep understanding of the automotive industry. And so he can understand how when there's news about regulations, when there's news about a new innovation, how that might affect things like sales, how that might affect the industry as a whole. So he has this very important knowledge that most people don't have that will give him kind of a leg up when it comes to thinking about investing in publicly traded companies. So when it comes to kids, I want them to know you have knowledge too. You know, if you have ever been around a kid who has like very condescendingly explained, no, that's not, that's Charizard, that is not... Jigglypuff, whichever. I do not understand Pokemon. That they have a very deep understanding of things that are important to them. And those things are represented by publicly traded companies. So one of the things that I did with my kids was one day we just for fun, we sat down and we took a dry erase board and we wrote down, like, what are all of your favorite things in the world? What are they? And so they named all kinds of interesting stuff, from like ice cream and pizza to things like Pokemon and Batman and Ninja Turtles, Mickey Mouse, the Muppets, swimming. So that was just one day. Then we waited until the next week because we didn't want to overwhelm them, and said, okay, pick two each of these and we'll figure out if there is a publicly traded company that this represents. So my elder son picked Pokemon and a show called Pup Academy, which is on the Disney Channel. And my younger son picked toys and Batman. And so we did a little bit of research, you know, who owns Batman, who owns the DC Comics. At the time, it was AT&T, which has since been purchased by Discovery. My older son, Pokemon, he discovered was owned by Nintendo. And then Pup Academy is owned by Disney. In terms of toys, we looked into Mattel toys. And so with that, we're like, you know a little bit about these things because this is the stuff that you consume. So we are going to buy a share of each of these. So my husband and I are bankrolling it for the kids, but we're going to buy a share of each of these, and we're just going to see what it does. We're going to see what it does, and we're going to think about anything that we might know about these things and how that might affect things. So, for instance, when before AT&T sold DC to Discovery, my older son was in the car with me, and he heard a radio commercial for AT&T phone service, and he got a little offended. He's like, hey, they're trying to raise their stock price. because he was thinking about his brother's investment, and I, you know, tried to explain, well, there's a lot that AT&T does. This is part of what's going on, and, you know, do you think this will affect their stock price, because this is part of how AT&T works and operates. And so having that conversation with him was kind of giving him that very gentle introduction to what it means to be invested in a company, what a company does, what the kinds of things that a company spends money on, and how that might affect both customers and investors. And so this is the sort of thing where we feel confident about teaching our kids things like how to cook, about teaching our kids how to work on a car, you know, the things that we know something about, and we feel less confident about things like investing. But if we start looking at it as, what's something I know a lot about? What can I, you know, if I buy a single share of that, what can I do with that and see where it goes? And how can we incorporate what I know about this company, what I know about this product into our conversations? That takes down the intimidation level, and it definitely kind of invites the kids to be thinking about things, not just as a consumer, but also as an investor.
Talking to Emily Guy Birkin, personal finance blogger based in Wauwatosa, author of a number of books, including the forthcoming Stacked, Your Super Serious Guide to Modern Money Management. Talk about investing, educating kids about money and investing. You can join in with your questions or maybe what you've done with your kids at 800-642-1234. And Emily, when I was 18, I don't know if you could buy a single share of something. I think I would have had to go to a stockbroker and probably pay a fee. It probably wouldn't have been worth it, I guess. I don't know about when you were 18. Mm-hmm. There are some tools now that allow people to do that, maybe for better or worse. What's out there?
So, yeah, the world has become much more democratized, particularly the world of investing. And so you have apps like things like Robinhood, which I am kind of ambivalent about that app for a number of reasons, because it is more democratized. And so you get to see things like a lot of little guys banding together on something like Robinhood, like they did with the GameStop stock back in the spring of this year, which was amazing to see because it was the power of that kind of democratization versus, you know, hedge funds who are, you know, the big dogs. The problem is, since it's an app, it feels like a game, and a lot of things are gamified. And so it's one of those things where I like to tell people, think of Robinhood like an app or a game with in-app purchases, so that you think real hard before you spend any money in it. But it can be an excellent learning tool if you remember what it is that you're doing with it. And so that's what we're using with our kids, because again, you can buy just a single share of something using something like Robinhood very easily. So it's this double-edged sword of, you do have this easier entree into the world of investing, but that also means you have an easier entree into the world of investing. So as ever, tread lightly.
And I've also heard, Emily, when kids start making money through their first job or babysitting or whatever, they can do things a little more diversified, like get their first Roth IRA. Is that something worth bringing kids into when they're old enough to actually be making a little bit of money?
Yes, absolutely. Now, for one thing, getting kids starting to invest in their retirement is going to be huge, because even if all you do is put aside $10 every couple of months into a Roth IRA, if you're doing that with a teenager, the amount of time, you've got 50 years for that money to grow. And so that's that lesson that my social studies teacher was trying to show us when I was in ninth grade. And so that can be a huge thing. And then particularly because of Roth IRAs, the way those work is you put money in that has already been taxed. Kids are not going to be in a situation where they need to worry about high tax rates, because, you know, they're working after school jobs or working summer jobs. If they are going to owe any taxes whatsoever, it's not going to be a lot. So you put that money in and then it grows and you take it out tax-free in retirement. The difference between your tax bracket when you're a 17-year-old and your tax bracket when you're a 67-year-old is going to be huge. So you are going to be helping your kids out in two different ways, both with the investing and with the potential tax savings. And so that's something that a lot of people just, it doesn't occur to you. I mean, you don't think about retirement when you're 15. You don't. It's hard to think about college savings when your child's a newborn. But doing that kind of thing early on, and even just a little bit, just saying like, hey, you know, you got paid $500 over the summer. How about $25 goes into your Roth IRA? I mean, it doesn't sound like much, but let it sit for all that time. It's going to make a big difference.
We're talking to Emily Guy Birkin, personal finance blogger from Wauwatosa, author of personal finance books. Talk about how to get started with investing and how to introduce concepts of investing and money management to kids. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. If you already invest, how did you get started? Have you worked with kids on lessons about money, especially on investing? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. The conversation continues coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Emily Guy Birkin about investing for beginners, especially introducing kids to concepts related to investing. Emily's a personal finance blogger from Wauwatosa, author of a bunch of personal finance books, including an upcoming one called Stacked, Your Super Serious Guide to Modern Money Management. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Steve is with us in La Crosse. Steve, hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, and thanks for doing this, Emily. I appreciate it. This really falls into a perfect question that I had. So I have a son that's 11, and probably since he was like 8 or 9, we've talked about investing and compounding interest, and he's like super interested in it. He works really hard. I told him once he saves $1,000, which is taking him a while to get there, but that's like all of his birthday money, the money that he earns in the summer, that we would invest it. I've sadly have not been able to find sort of a program that he can invest it into, that he can log in and watch it grow. You know what I mean? Something that's really geared towards kids, something that would like really get them interested in it and excited for it. I know we've talked about doing a Roth IRA, but that seems really plain, probably the best way to go. But is there any investment company that has something like this that kids can get involved with it? Because that would really, I think, would spur their interest on wanting to put more money into it, and then in turn, hopefully make them a miser of money.
Interesting, Steve. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing that that question. Emily, what do you think?
That is an excellent question, and I'm afraid I don't know anything off of the top of my head that is specifically geared towards kids. I do know that there are, you know, a number of banks and other things will have things like savings accounts for kids and trying to teach them in that way. And the other option that I have seen. There are some places where you can get like beautiful stock certificates of certain companies. So like I know Disney for one, that are frameable, and that's another thing that sometimes people will do as a gift for a child. Like, you know, I bought you a stock in Disney, and there's, you know, the regular stock, but then there's this beautiful frameable stock certificate that's got the, you know, the swoopy D and all of that. So I think one of the things that we as parents can do is find ways to make it exciting for them, even if there isn't necessarily an app specifically for it. And, you know, there very well may be but, you know, as I mentioned with Robinhood, sometimes apps can be a double-edged sword. But something that we are doing with our kids is we have a weekly meeting every week where we kind of just talk about, here's what we're planning for the next week, so the kids will know, you know, when their swim lesson is, you know, if there's a dentist appointment coming up, that sort of thing. And we've incorporated the investing into our weekly meeting, where we just kind of look, see how things are doing, and we keep a notebook where we write it down. We're hoping to eventually, we just have not gotten around to it, to have a board where we can track things in the same way that when my husband and I were first married, we got very excited about paying off debt because we had a debt thermometer up in our kitchen and we couldn't wait to color it in. Kids are the same way. I mean, so giving them something that, even if it's not necessarily in an app with the lights and colors and all of that, you can find a way to make it really exciting with like, hey, this is what I'm invested in. It's on my wall. Either, you know, you've got that stock certificate, or you've got the chart that you're building together with each time you check in on how your investments are doing. And then that kind of DIY method of doing it could be a really nice way to work together and get excited about it together.
Thanks for that call, Steve. We'll go now to Jackie with us in Milwaukee. Jackie, hello.
Hi. You mentioned about investing in something you're knowledgeable and interested in and you keep up with, but yet I wouldn't know what to do with it. I've always been kind of under the thing that with investments, you buy and you stay in it a long time, because if I hear something, I don't want to be buying and selling every time I hear something that sounds either positive or negative.
Interesting, Jackie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, buy and hold, or play the market and respond to each news up and down tick.
That's an excellent question. And yes, absolutely. I am a big believer in buy and hold. And that's one of the things where rather than using your knowledge to try to time the market in terms of selling it, like, oh, it's going gangbusters now, but something bad's coming down the line, let's sell it now. It's more along the lines of, you know, if you have an idea of something exciting coming down the line, that's when to buy. But that's the only way that I think is helpful to time the market, is if you like, oh, I know there's this new technology coming that's going to change this. Or, you know, one of the things I remember very vividly when Jurassic Park came out in the 1990s, we knew it was coming. And my dad said something about, like, now would be the time to invest in anything dinosaur related. and so with what I'm trying to do with my children, and kind of the point of why I want them to invest in something they know, is that they can understand how the stock market works, understand what it means to be invested, and understand what the relationship between what happens in the world, what happens with consumers, what happens with news, what happens with new innovations, and how that affects investors. So it's not necessarily teaching them how to time the market, because that's a worthy goal. Timing the market is another form of gambling, in my opinion. But it's really more about the being able to look at the patterns and see, hey, this is how this happened. This is what happened to our money when that happened. And so they will feel more confident and comfortable with the market and feel like this is something they can do.
Thanks a lot for that call. In our last minute or so, Emily, I know some young investors are interested in the new cryptocurrencies, the blank coins out there. When it comes to that idea of investing in things you understand, what do you think of that?
Cryptocurrency worries me specifically for that reason, just because a lot of the people who invest in it don't necessarily understand it. And it's in the same way that the dot-com bubble in the late 90s, people were like, computers, they're great, without really understanding computers. So when it comes to things like crypto, when it comes to any like the best new thing down the block and you can't lose, and like there are these people who started with $100 and now they're millionaires, it's always important to go, what am I reacting to? Am I reacting to this because I think it's a good idea, that I like the idea of you know, this blockchain, something that is not related to government, that is completely free of regulation? Am I reacting to what it actually is, or am I reacting to the stories about it, about someone who managed to do something incredible with it because they understood it? And so asking yourself that question can help you separate the, you know, exciting opportunities that you should look into and the exciting opportunities that you should just let pass by.
Emily, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
That's Emily Guy-Burkin, personal finance blogger from Wauwatosa. Her upcoming book is called Stacked, Your Super Serious Guide to Modern Money Management. She joined us to talk about investment lessons for kids. Read more of her work. We've got a link at WPR.org/centraltime.